So the question is about celebrating a bat mitzvah. So in order to first get to the point of celebrating a bat mitzvah, we first need to be able to evaluate if there's any value in celebrating a bar mitzvah. So there is a Talmudic source, and this is the source which is quoted by many people subsequently. I do not believe that the source says what people think it says, and I think I can convince you within the next 2 minutes that this source is conveniently utilized but is not actually interpreted properly. Sources number one, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Meresh, originally, Havamina, I thought, Manda Hava Amarli, anybody who would say to me, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, to Amar Sumer Potter Mina Mitzvot, that somebody who is blind is not obligated in Mitzvot, Avidna Yomatu V'Rabbanan. I would make a party for the other rabbis. Now, a little background. This Rabbi Yosef was blind. Rabbi Yosef was blind, and he performed as many mitzvot as he could. He said, originally, if somebody would have said the law is like Rabbi Yehuda, who claimed that a blind person is patur from mitzvot, is not obligated to do mitzvot, he said, I would have made a party. What was his rationale for making a party? Because he would have said, I'm not obligated, I do it anyway, so therefore he's thinking, I must be getting more reward than the people who are obligated, because they're doing things because they have to do it, I'm doing things because I want to do it, so therefore he said that originally I would have made a party if anybody for this position that says that a blind person is not obligated, because he says that my status, therefore, is superior status. Then he says, "Dahalo mifkadana v'avidna," because I'm not commanded, and I do it nonetheless. Hashta d'shemana lahadu amar Rabbi Chanina. But now that I heard the position of Rabbi Chanina, gadol mitzuv va'ose, that yotam mishenim mitzuv va'ose, that it's better if you're commanded and you do it; it's even superior than if you're not commanded to do it. Adarab amanda amar li de'en lach Rabbi Yehuda. Whoever says the law is not like Rabbi Yehuda, avidna yoma tuvah d'rabbanan. I would then make a party for the rabbis. So what is he saying over here? He is saying that as a blind person, he's not obligated, but if he were to find out the law is not like Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? That a blind person is not obligated to mitzvot. That if he were to find out that a blind person is obligated on mitzvot, then he would make a party. That's what the Gemara says. Rashi in the second line, Lo Mifkadina Shahaya Sagi Nahar. Right? He was unable to see. In the third line, Rashi says, Yom Tuv L'Rabbanan, a party for the rabbis, Sudat L'Tamidim, a party for the scholars, really. The Yamshil Shlomo, which is again a wonderful Ashkenazic source, writes, V'Sudat Bar Mitzvah Sha'osim Ha'Ashkenazim. He's talking generally here about different types of Sudot Mitzvah. He says that the Suda Mitzvah, which the Ashkenazim do, the Suda Bar Mitzvah that the Ashkenazim do, which also tells you something, it sounds almost like it's an Ashkenazi custom and not necessarily others doing it. We don't know if that's the case right now, but he's focusing on that. He says, L'cha Ora, it seems ostensibly, Ein L'cha Suda Mitzvah Gedola Mizu, that there's no greater Suda Mitzvah. So this is an interesting thing. What exactly is a Suda Mitzvah? A sudat mitzvah is counter to sudat rishut. Sudat rishut is something you eat because you need to eat. Sudat mitzvah is a celebration of something. So over here, when it's called a sudat mitzvah, well, one thing about a sudat mitzvah would be is that somebody's in avil would be allowed to go to a sudat mitzvah. Okay, and maybe other issues as well. But he says, ostensibly, there's no greater sudat mitzvah than a bar mitzvah. And he says, vishma yuchiyach aleha. And the very name, bar mitzvah, would seem to indicate the fact that this is a mitzvah. Va'osim simcha v'nonim l'makom shevach v'odea, and they thank God, shezacha hanar liyot bar mitzvah, v'gadol hamitzuvah v'oseh, v'av zacha shegadlo adatah l'chiniso b'brit ha-torah b'chlala. So this is a celebration, the person has mitzvah on him, v'raya, and a proof to this, lahedya sof perakam to kedushin. And a proof of this comes from Marshal would probably be in the 15th century. Yeah. So, and he says the proof of this is the Gemara in Kedushin, because with Rabbi Yosef. Now, by the way, why am I not convinced that this is the Pshat in the Gemara? What did Rabbi Yosef say in the first part? If somebody would have said to me that I'm not obligated on mitzvot, I'd make a party. So it's very difficult to say that based on this Gemara, is where you're obligated to make a party when you're chayiv on mitzvot. It sounds to me that the reason that Rabbi Yosef was making a party was not because he's obligated on mitzvot, it was because he's happy. I understand the second half. And that's what people do. They take the second half outside of the first half and say, oh, look, here we have proof that when you're obligated on a mitzvah, you make a party. Now, I want you to tell me, why did Rabbi Yosef make the party? Because he was obligated or because he was happy? It came from happy, which means it's not that Rabbi Yosef felt that when somebody is obligated, meaning would Rabbi Yosef have said that the Maharshal understood his intentions properly? I don't believe so, because of the first part of the Gemara. What was the first part? If somebody would have told me that I'm not obligated, I'd make a party. You understand what I'm saying? It's quite the opposite. It's that Rabbi Yosef's party seems to be based upon his happiness and not a function of being chayev b'mitzvot. As I said, that's the reason that I'm not 100% convinced that the Maharshal's source over here for bar mitzvah, and by the way, this is the source. This is it. So just in case, you know, somebody's going to say, you know, where do you get the idea that you celebrate a bar mitzvah? And someone will say, oh, that's based upon the Gemara. So as I said, it's not exactly based upon the Gemara. What's it based on? It's based upon one of the, you could call the Maharshal, one of the early Achronim, based upon the Maharshal's interpretation of the Gemara, which I think may leave something to be desired. As I said, that's a whole other topic, which I'm not going to get into. He then plays. Yeah, if you want, you could just quote the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, which says it. He then plays with the second problem. What happens if you're celebrating not on the day of the bar mitzvah? Now, that's the next. That's where it's underlined a little bit later on. He says, "Makom makom nira heicha shemachanchen analu drosh ala seuda mein hamu'ura lo gar misudat chinuch habayit," which means it should be no worse than other kinds of sudat mitzvah, which means like when you move into a house and you make a chanukah tabayit, you say divrei Torah and all that's considered sudat mitzvah. So he says, if a kid says a dvar Torah, it shouldn't be any worse. At the very end, by the way, he has a nafkamina whether it is a sudat mitzvah or not. You may not want to hear this nafkamina. Anybody remember, I'm sure you do, that when people call you up, invite you to a brit, how do they say it? And why not? And why does it obligate you to go? Because it's a sudat mitzvah. So he writes at the end, last line, it's not underlined. Second line to the bottom. He goes, "V'gam kin ika nafkuta b'hach piskel inyan aveilim." If it's a sudat mitzvah, there's a nafkamina regarding aveilim. Aveilim would be able to go. Yishar leilech otim sudat mitzvah. If they'd be allowed to go to mitzvah, k'mo shefareish makon elu megalchin. Okay, so he doesn't go as far as I thought he went. Okay, he just says therefore aveilim would go. This thing about inviting to the brit. Yeah, he says that if it's a sudat mitzvah, then an avel should be able to go as well. By the way, what this may have to do with reality today is another point, but that has to do with the way that bar mitzvahs are celebrated. But theoretically, if somebody has a bar mitzvah, which I'll define right now as people eating food, and somebody gets up and says dvar Torah, he's saying that's a sudat mitzvah. He didn't know about the band, right? He didn't know about a lot of the other things that may exist, right? He's not aware of that. The Shulchan Aruch in source number 4 mentions nothing about the party, but he writes, Hagah, this is in the laws of brachot. He writes, the Rama writes, "Yesh mishanase b'no bar mitzvah v'yavarech barachat Hashem akina machalom shepatrani mi'onsho shel zeh v'tov l'varech b'lo shem u'malchut," which means that already becomes a big machloket whether you say barachat Hashem. Most people don't. They say barach shepatrani. The reason why there's tension over here is because the bracha barach shepatrani is not mentioned in the Gemara. And any bracha which is not mentioned in the Gemara then becomes somewhat difficult, and that's why some people would not say it with Shem u'Malchut, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and some people would. The indication over here is that he says yes, and then he says, but it's better not to, so it's a little contradictory. The Magen Avraham mentions the Bar Mitzvah, and he then takes us back and go to the bottom line of the page. He writes, Shemitzvah, he's quoted the Maharshal, Shemitzvah al-Adam lasot tzuda b'yom shenaso b'no Bar Mitzvah. meaning it's a mitzvah. He just called this a mitzvah. Meaning, I don't know how I can answer what mitzvah is this, but he says it's a mitzvah to make the party for the bar mitzvah. That's the way the Magen Avraham quotes this. Ki yom shenichnas l'chuppah. The same way, it's an obligation to make a wedding. That seems to be the day that he enters the 14th year, which is on your birthday on the 13th year. Shlomo, right? The imhanar deresh havisudat mitzvah filu enu ba'oto hayom. So far, what have we learned? We've learned a couple of things. One is that we find Achronim telling us, based upon the Gemara, Magen Avraham, quoting the Maharshal, quoting the Gemara, this idea of making a party for a bar mitzvah. And of course, then we're left with a very simple question. And at this point, actually, we could have two questions. One is, the Shulchan Aruch mentioned a whole second thing, and that's also that we're not going to get into that much, and that is that you make a bracha baruch shepatrani, right? So the Prima Gadim, who is a commentary to the Magen Avraham in source number 6, he asks a very obvious question. Right? Why, when a girl turns bat mitzvah, why are we not making a baruch shepatrani there? Which means, why in the world would one make a distinction between these two? So I'm leaving the question open with the Magen Avraham. If one wanted to get into this more, one would have to go back to understand what exactly is the baruch shepatrani. There's actually a machloket, what it means. He goes a little bit into the machloket, push that aside. The Ben Ish Chai, and those of you who don't recognize the Ben Ish Chai, we're talking about one of the major Sephardic poskim. He talks about the bar mitzvah even a little bit more. In source number 7, Hazocher, this is in Parshat Re'eh, he brings us, Hazocher yitchayev mitzvot ben shlosh l'shanav yom achad, alkein b'yom rishon shel shnat yudalid, yitpos ha'avit b'no b'yado, father takes him by the hand, v'yomer baruch shepatrani man shel shelzeh. Right? Makes the bracha. V'yarher shem umalchut b'libo. And he thinks about God's name, but he doesn't actually say it. So you see the way that he negotiates with that problem. V'yishtadel lasot sudat lo'ovim v'reim. And try to make a party on that day. V'yazmin bo tamidei chachamim. Invite people that are proper tamidei chachamim. V'yarbe b'sudah v'simcha ki ad Hashem tov olav. And you do what you can afford. Shemisudah zu yesani gor gdol l'shisro. For this will have a great protection for the Jewish people this day, which is very, very interesting. He says, "Sheyomu malitzei Yosef ne'kadosh baruch hu, like angels as it were go up in front of God. Ribono shel olam, ra'el benecha kama him smechim al shenichnasim ba'ol mitzvotecha. Look how much Jews, they've been obligated to do something and they accept it with love, and this is a wonderful thing spiritually to do." Okay, so that's a very interesting read. V'suda zu nikra sudat mitzvah v'habracha nizkeret b'li shem umalchut. And during the meal, the father is going to bless the son. And the great people that are there will place their hands on the son's head. And bless him with the Berachat Kohanim. The kid is able to say Dvar Torah. Yidrosh Dvar Be'ito Matov. That's good. V'im Lav, if he can, Yidrosh Av. The father should say Dvar Torah. V'im Lav, Yidrosh Tamid Chacham Achad Min Akruim. Then one of the invited people should say a Dvar Torah. V'tov Da Ben Yubosh Beged Chadash. It's good if he wears new clothing. V'yavarech shechianu, which means it's not that you have new clothing because the main thing is that has new clothing. He says it's good to wear new clothing so you can make the shechianu. V'yichavein gam al hichniso ba'oto ayom ba'ol mitzvot. And you should have in mind that you're also doing have a new stage in your life when you make the shechianu. V'im'ein le'el yadol yavarech al pri chadash. And if you can't afford new clothing, so make it on a fruit. Say shechianu.
You can't make the shechianu just because.
Right. Right. The Gam Habat, look at this. The Ben Ish Chai realized that there are women in the world. The Gam Habat, b'yom shekanes b'chiyuv ha-mitzvot, on the day that she will become a bat mitzvah, afal pi shelo nagu lasot lo mitzuda. Now that's an interesting line which will be debated later on. He says, even though it's not customary to make a suda, so how does that sound? This is not the custom in a declarative sense, or is it we just, for whatever reason is, have not had that custom. Al ken zot tiyas simcha oto ayom. Nonetheless, she should be happy on that day. V'tubosh b'gdei Shabbat. She should wear Shabbos clothes. Im yesh l'kel yada. If you can afford it, tubosh b'gid chadash. She continues to say, and if you can afford it, buy new clothing. V'tivarech shachianu, and she should make a shachianu. V'tichavin gamach kinyasata ba'ol mitzvot, and she should also have in mind that she's accepting the mitzvot. V'yesh nogin lasot. Okay, and then he talks about birthdays generally. So again, it's very interesting because at least here we finally found a source that realized that, you know, why, I mean, you see that he grapples a little bit with why should this be any different whatsoever. He does state a fact that we don't happen to make a party, and as I said, what that means, we're going to leave it for now. It's also interesting if you've, you know, asked me before about kid reading the Torah and all that. All that's not here. All that's not here. All that, all...
Around
100 something years ago. 100 and changing. Yeah. Yeah. More, a little more, yeah. He was the chief rabbi of Baghdad. So as I said, so slightly more than 100. So it's very interesting, the Ben Ish Chai, because it's he obviously recognizes that there's an issue. I mean, look, he didn't address the issue of Baruch Shepatrani. But he addresses that the girl's becoming bat mitzvah, and there should be the same joy. And he mentions the same celebration, but we don't know exactly what to do with this. Later on, and I knew that you'd ask me the dates of some of these things, so I did collect them for you. In the book called Pitchei Sha'arim, the name is Hornblass, 1847 to 1914, he writes, Yud bet shana, v'chei b'chol mitzvot k'mo la'ish. He goes, I've always wondered this. Why don't we make a party when girls become a bat mitzvah? So I want to skip ahead and cut through a lot, and I'm going to... Hungary, if I'm not mistaken.
Aviv should be his father, right? Above at the end and not a bit. The end of the second line, under the underline, number 8. Masha Aviv will say...
Father,
right? Should be above.
I assume. I don't know.
Father.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, right. Should Igrat Moshe. So we're going to look at three different shuvot of Rav Moshe. The first one is written in 1957. It's written to a fellow named a rabbi, Rav Hagon. He calls him Baruch Arach Pupka. One important thing about 1957 is that Rav Moshe had still, as of this point, not published his Igrat Moshe. So it's not like somebody who saw Rav Moshe write, he didn't write any books yet, but Rav Moshe did still have a reputation, at least in certain circles, and he turns to Rav Moshe and he asks him, "B'davar inyan ha-chafatzim l'nhig eiza seder v'simchat b'b'not sh'nasu b'not mitzvah," regarding those who want to make a bat mitzvah. We are in 9. Nine. Top of page 3. He ein lasot zeb beit haknesset b'shum ofen af bo b'layla. Rav Moshe is saying, do not use the shul. Do not use the shul even during off hours. Ki beit haknesset einu makom lasot divrei reshut af bin nivnu al tnai. You should not be using a shul for non-obligatory things, even if the shul is built on condition, which is a point that one can debate. The next word you like, v'ha ceremonies, and somebody put in tekes, shel bat mitzvah, hu vaday rak divrei reshut v'hevel ba'alma, v'ein shum makom latir lasot zeh b'beit knesset. Rav Moshe is essentially saying there is nothing to this. V'kol shkein b'zeh shaha makorba meha reformer v'conservativer. So... Or for some of you, may have reformim v'conservativim. Rav Moshe, you hopefully will appreciate, is defending orthodoxy. He sees this, and from his perspective, you know, growing up in Russia, moving to America, he did not probably attend all that many bat mitzvot when he was growing up in Russia. And coming to America, he sees this as something which is essentially a reform and conservative practice. And therefore, he fights against it. Absolutely, don't bring it into the shul. And I do have to, you know, state over here, the Ben Ish Chai was not fighting against reform and conservative. The Ben Ish Chai was just simply asking, you know, hold it. You know, we don't happen to make a party. But if you say to Rav Moshe, well, what do you think about a party? Then you're waving a red flag. Part of what I'm trying to say is that these people, these great rabbis that are dealing with these questions, are also human beings who live within a particular context. And sometimes living within a context leads you in one direction, and sometimes living within a context leads you in a different direction. But you hear very clearly from Rav Moshe over here, and he says it to you. He says, about mitzvah, this is nothing. By the way, he gets better. Let's continue. V'rak imrotz ha'av lasot eiza simcha bebeit or rishai. If a father wants to make a party in his house, he can't. Ein ze shum inyan v'samach lachshiv ze devar mitzvah v'sudat mitzvah. There's nothing to this. This is not a sudat mitzvah. Ki hu rak simcha shol yom hu ledet bi'alma. It's a birthday. So, and I'll say this clearly. Whether Rav Moshe is actually right on things that he's saying over here or not is certainly debatable. And now he goes further. V'i ayasher cheli, which means if I had the power, hayiti mivato b'dinatenu gam seder habar mitzvah, shel abanim. He goes, if I had the power, I'd get rid of all the bar mitzvahs also. Kishiyadu alohoviza shum ish likirvo l'torah l'mitzvot. Making bar mitzvah that I've seen in America has not brought anybody closer to God or anybody closer to mitzvot. V'af loa ta bar mitzvah, even the kid himself, not even for one moment. Rav Moshe is saying, who are you kidding over here? Living in America, 1957. Living in America, you ask me about bat mitzvot and you want to compare it to bar mitzvot? He goes, you ask me, get rid of both of them. They didn't in Europe. One second. What kind of bar mitzvahs do they have in Europe? I just read something on Shabbat in Makor Rishon about Malka Bina's father-in-law. Rav Bina said he missed his own bar mitzvah. He said he was in yeshiva, so he had an aliyah. His father wasn't there. He had an aliyah. That was it. There was no bar mitzvah. It just wasn't done. He missed his own bar mitzvah in the sense that his father probably said Baruch Shepatrani someplace else. Oh, it's my kid's birthday today. Okay, he said, yeah, I'm not going to say that's also a simple thing. When you say that about Baruch Shepatrani, again, I don't want to get into that. But when kids would say to him, oh, I'm invited to my second cousin's bar mitzvah, I want to miss night seder tonight. He said, it's not a good reason. He goes, I did not leave yeshiva for my own bar mitzvah to go home to celebrate my bar mitzvah. He stayed in yeshiva and he learned, meaning what kind of values are these? Which means in Europe, the vast majority of people, what was a bar mitzvah? A Monday, a Thursday, maybe a Shabbos morning. You had an aliyah, your father made the bracha, and that's it. Maybe they had some schnapps and a piece of cake. Maybe not also. And Rav Moshe is saying, thousands in those days, thousands of dollars, today tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars being used on a bar mitzvah, you know, bring aging rock stars or other people to play, and professional athletes, things that have nothing to do with Torah or mitzvot. Rav Moshe is looking at this as if I can cancel bar mitzvahs in America, I would cancel it. Let's limit the damage over here. And try to stop. He goes, what happens if you make a bar mitzvah? People drive in the car and Shabbat. He goes, what are you talking about? So as far as so you really do get the sense of the Rav Moshe Feinstein over here, he's fighting a battle, which we all know he doesn't win. He's fighting a battle against the secularism of Judaism, and he sees the bat mitzvah within that particular perspective. Now, before you ask or say anything else, a second question was asked of him in 1959, again, before his first volume is published. What's interesting is that the first tshuva was published in the first volume. The second one was not published until many years later in the fourth volume. Look at source number 10 and you'll see something interesting. It was written by a young rabbi who was first starting off his career, who later became very famous, but not for being a shul rabbi. Chagigat bat mitzvah beit ha'knesset, Bet Sivan Tavshin Yutet, Harav Meir Kahana. Yes. Rav Behoward Beach, New York. Okay, so this, he is just starting his career. He's got a shul. He apparently got himself into a situation here because either he agreed or there was the practice where he agreed that in this shul, I don't know what kind of shul it is, I assume it's an Orthodox shul, but he agreed that the girl, they will have a bar mitzvah, they will have it in shul, they will have, again, what does this mean exactly? They're going to have a kiddush, and the question over here really is going to be, is the girl going to get up and say a Dvar Torah, and where will she say the Dvar Torah? And it sounds to me like he agreed that she should get up in shul and say the Dvar Torah from the Bima. And Rav Moshe is not happy. He goes, "Bidvar etzem chagigat bat mitzvah ein b'zeh sudat mitzvah elohu kesimcha shayom huladet be'alma." So you hear him repeating himself. It's a birthday. Stop this already. Shehu reshut l'chein ein lasot b'beit haknesset shudat reshut ein lahatir b'beit haknesset. What? Why are you making birthday parties in a shul for? Af kishiv ne'al t'nai. Again, he almost repeats himself word for word. Avol lasot kiddush b'beit haknesset shenogin b'rov bat haknesiot b'medina zu lasot b'kol simcha sheyesh la'adam. Lo goras simcha zu mishar smachot. He goes, okay, and I hear, and here if Moshe is being honest, people would give a kiddush, right, for all kinds of reasons. Right? The kid graduated from high school, right, became a doctor, and he may make a kiddush for it. So he would say, listen, this is no worse than any other reason that somebody makes a kiddush. So he said, Sha'osin, v'resha'a gam lomar eza milim lichvot simchata, and it's fine if she speaks by the kiddush, v'zem istabir she'yisagi lato elit she'sover, Kvot Torato, Sheyesh Bezeh. And he goes, and that should be enough for what you, he says to Meir Kahane, you think there's something positive can come out of this. Avalo Tamara Labima, but she shouldn't get up and speak by the Bima. Ela Eitzel Shulchan Shosin HaKiddushim, she should speak by the with the Kiddushes. And by the way, I can still imagine that there would be rabbis around today who would hold this in their hands and say, you know, here are the rules Rav Moshe gave us. You can't move one iota from one place to the other. Right. Okay, so that Rav Moshe allowed. Uvdvar bat mitzvah shekar nikva'a. He goes, and regarding this thing that you already agreed to, im yachol kvod, right, and so on, if you somehow can, but ofen shel ziluta lichvod torato, which means you already agreed, if you can back down without it being embarrassing to you, v'gam shel yeh machloket, and it's not going to cause a fight, l'shanot shirak ba'asiyat ha'kiddush, your Elisha note. If you can get away with it by only having you speak by the Kiddush, that's better. If what's going to happen is that it will cause a machloket and will cause you to be attacked, as you niach kamo shehukva, let it, however you set it up, let it happen that way. But for next time, avola haba, yan hig shia rak basiyat kiddush ragil, asot b'chol simcha sheyesh ladam, to have her speak by the Kiddush. Which means Rav Moshe is saying over here that if you have no choice, let her speak by the bima because it was already agreed and I don't want you to cause a whole fight and so on and so forth, but don't go there again. And then he goes back and he repeats himself and he says, v'to'elet shokotev kvodo, regarding what you say that there's positive things that can come out of a bat mitzvah, v'fiyah nir yotzi mizeh adura v'kikulim b'chil shabbat v'od v'af b'banim lo re'inu to'elet mizeh l'kirel l'torah l'mitzvah v'afim be'ez which means Meir Kahane obviously wrote him and said, I've seen that when you get a girl in a bat mitzvah program, she grows Jewishly. So Rav Moshe doesn't buy it. He goes, okay, if you think this is the case, then you know I'll take your word for it. He goes, so by having the Kiddush, you'll get whatever you want. He goes, but I haven't seen it. And he goes, Adurabba, most cases, what I've seen from these bar mitzvahs is kilku l'chin yesh l'rachuk in yana chadash l'chigat bat mitzvah v'lo l'kareva v'lo machloket k'dil. He goes, we shouldn't be making new things like more bar mitzvahs, because he thinks bar mitzvahs are fundamentally wrong. Again, Rav Moshe's fight, I hope you all understand that.
Because of America?
No, it's because of America. It's America. Rav Moshe thinks bar mitzvahs are bad. He thinks start making bat mitzvahs are just making the situations worse. And he says, you know, let's limit the damage that we already have. Let's not make new damage. So that's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe then is pressed on this. Somebody writes him regarding what he's already said about bat mitzvahs, that it's not a suda mitzvah at all. And he's very strong on that point. So somebody writes him and says, well, what about the Maharshal? What about the fact that you've entered into the world of mitzvot and there's a celebration because you've entered the world of mitzvot? Why in the world would you distinguish between a boy and a girl regarding entering the world of mitzvot? Why should that be a sudat mitzvah and this not be a sudat mitzvah? Which I think all of you appreciate is a very fair question. So that's where Moshe asked in source number 11. It doesn't say, but it's obviously after the others. This is already after the book is printed and so on. And he doesn't back down, by the way. He's, if we look, what you've asked, so for es mit kashem adua ein mitzvah besudat bat mitzvah kishenet bat yud bat shana kemo beben de gam beben abat he mitchayevet atah b'mitzvot v'yesh lo siv lechazek ha'kushya. He goes, I can strengthen your question. Sha'af she'ein abat dereshet, even she doesn't give a drasha, da'af im tedrash leka ma'aleh she'petura mitalmud Torah mikol makom ha b'yom she'na'aseh bar mitzvah nechshevet sudat mitzvah av kishenu doresh k'di itu morgan avram. Right, the day that you have a bar mitzvah is a sudat mitzvah. Why? We skip a little bit, as he said, b'shem ha-maharshal, b'yam shel shlomo. B'mken, gam b'bat ba'oto ha-yom, shenimlu'u la yud bet shana, V'yom echad yitchashev sudat mitzvah. What he ends up saying in the next paragraph, v'nochon l'ni daite, he says, it seems to me, v'shem de'im nikar chiluk bibad l'ma'aseh b'masha nasit gdola yoter mi katnuta. V'lo domi l'ben shenikar tuva shema'atem etzter v'nato l'chol devar bo'i minyan asara u'minyan shlosha. What he says is that there's no discernible difference, so therefore it's not really a sudat mitzvah. Now, whether you think this is a defendable position or a non-defendable position, we'll see, b'li neder, as we continue, there are those who just...
He says
that when a boy becomes a bar mitzvah, so you see, because now they count him for minyan. When a girl becomes a bar mitzvah, there's no discernible difference between the day... By the way, there's a very interesting source in Masechet Sofrim, which didn't make the final cut in my 8 pages here, which does speak about when a boy becomes close to bar mitzvah and a girl close to bat mitzvah, the minhug of Yerushalayim was for the kid to fast when they got close and then to go to all the ziknei Yerushalayim who would give them a bracha. It says both by the boy and the girl because of their keeping the fast day and so on. So there's a real interesting source there, which may be one of the earliest sources that discusses celebrating, you know, getting close towards majority. Source number 12. What do you want to do? You want me to speed up and do everything? You want me to go slow and come back to this next week? What do you want? What? Okay, so we're not going to read source 12 yet. Instead, I'm going to read to you what you don't have in front of you. This is... I will soon. I'm not reading it yet. I'm not reading it yet, so we have to wait. We're right now looking at a book which you don't have in front of you, but all of you can go to HebrewBooks.org, which, by the way, has thousands of books that you don't have at home. We're not there. Don't look in your sources. Don't speak to her. HebrewBooks.org is a wonderful website where every week they put up more and more books. They scan the whole book. You can open it up as a PDF. You can download it as a PDF. You can ask them to print it for you if you want to order it free. The printing is, of course, money, but, excuse me? Sometimes it's hard to read because they scan old books. Lots of books that I can't find other places that I look over there, I can find them. So I'm reading right now from a book which is called Zaken Aharon.
HebrewBooks.org.
HebrewBooks.org, correct. Zaken Aharon. It's written by... It's written by somebody who was the Rav of Pinsk Karlin. The tshuva that he wrote, if I'm not mistaken, is in 1927. 1927 is only 5 years after Judith Kaplan had her bat mitzvah in New York. Mordechai Kaplan made a bat mitzvah of his daughter in 1922. This is 1927. Now, I mentioned to a rabbi this week because a certain issue came up, and he went and he asked, and then he quoted public. He goes, Sha'alti gdolei Torah. I've asked great rabbis, is the answer that I got. So I said to him, you know, we both know that 80% of the answer is what question you ask, and the other 20% is who you asked. So the fact that you got a psak on something is absolutely meaningless. And when he told me what question he asked, it was obvious that he got the answer, which was, shall I say, a little preposterous in my mind. But once I heard the question that he asked, he basically forced him to give the answer that he wanted. Over here, I'm reading now from a book called Zaken Aharon. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember what his last name was. Was it Farber, or am I wrong about that? It's called Zaken Aharon. It's written in 1920. This tshuva is from 1927. He was the Rav of Pinsk Karlin. Yeah. I said Farber because the answer is to somebody named Farber, somebody named Tzvi Farber. So we'll get to that in a second. He addresses this Yom Bet Yud Zayin Adar Tuf Resh Pei Zayin. and he writes it to Kvod Vad Harabanim, to Kehila Kedosha, London Habira, Ubiyichud Lamazkir Harav of Tzvi Farber Shlita. So this is written to rabbis in London. Now, when I said to you before, you tell me what the question is, and I'll be able to, have a good sense what the answer is going to be. So he actually addresses three different issues in this tshuva. And I will read, you're right, the print is not always great, this is not perfect, but I will read to you what he says over here. Bidvar she'latchem, regarding your question, al shlosha psha'im, how would you translate that? Three crimes, asher elu hamordim machrivei karta, regarding the rebels who are destroying the city, or the implication is the holy city, rotsim l'taken, that they want to establish, and he writes in parentheses, l'saken, to endanger. Ulananhig b'irchem, that they want to establish in your city. One, la'asot tfilatam, kol b'isha erva, ulamid nikevot l'sharer imachazan b'beit ha'knesset. They want women as part of the choirs to sing in the shuls. Bet, l'nagen b'ugav, which is an organ, b'me'achol b'shat chupa. They want to bring an organ into the shuls and play the organ during the shul. Now, I don't know if you know this, but by the chuppah, in the shuls and play it by the chuppah. Now, I don't know if you know about organs and shuls, but it's not a great mix. As historically, it's during the week, but the problem is the organ. Why is it a problem? Because churches had organs, and then the reform back in Germany basically imitated the churches in a couple of things. I don't know if you know this, there was a huge machloket that took place regarding where you put the bima in the shul. Okay, I don't know if you know. No, again, you walk into any healthy Sephardic shul, where's the bima? In the middle, right? Which is the proper place for a bima to be. Some shuls, you'll find the bima all the way up front. That was an influence of the reform. They moved it all the way up front, and I'm telling you, this made a huge, huge problem. Just simply questions of architecture caused a huge problem, because it was basically, does the tefillah come from the midst of the people, or is it coming down towards the people? But the churches always had them all the way up front. And so I'm telling you, historically, this is a huge problem. The organ, to bring an organ into a shul, so here, even not to use it on Shabbos, you understand what he's saying? He's not talking about using it during the ceremony, during Shabbos, during services, during weekday services, during a chuppah. So he sees this as, that's nothing. Then he gets the third one. Again, there were three. The third one, the word that he uses over here is, I will spell it for you, just so that you will enjoy this, Kuf Aleph Nun, Pei Ayin Reish, Mem Aleph Tzadi Yud Aleph Nun. If you've missed that, that was confirmation. Confirmation Lina'arot, and he writes in parentheses, Chag HaBagrut, B'Beit HaKneset, that making a confirmation for a girl in shul. And he says, "Va'ayidezeh ta'aruvot anashim v'nashim." By doing this, you'll have men and women together. Zugot zugot, bachur betula, young man and woman. Gam yachad. Ba'im lachkog et chag zivat mishpacha b'mon chogeg. They're going to be celebrating with the whole fanfare. Ma umar ma adaber. What can I say? What words are there? Ein day milim b'fi l'ta'er et chomer ha'iser. He goes, I don't have words to say, how outrageous this is. Because even had these things by themselves been acceptable things, even things that maybe you can say there's a mitzvah involved in it, afilu hachi achshav sha'osim kazeh shari ha'umot. Now that they're doing it, because other nations do it, she'enu b'nei Yisrael. And then he goes on and on about this. This is by the way, all this is part of the question. We have not gotten near his answer yet. And by his answer, he writes, after he knocks off the first two, he writes, V'acharon ha-kavid b'masher ratzim la-kahal ki hilot anashim v'nashim b'achorim l'tulot l'chol chagigat ha-bagrut l'na'arot, that they want to celebrate the confirmation. By the way, what's very interesting over here is he's not talking about a bat mitzvah. Right. He's not talking about a bat mitzvah. He's talking about a confirmation. By the way, this will not stop. Okay. Now this is what's interesting about this is anybody who wants to attack the bat mitzvah celebration will go back and quote this tshuva over here, even though if you actually read the tshuva, he's not talking about a bat mitzvah. It's right there from the beginning. It's talking about a confirmation. He's not talking about a bat mitzvah, but he says, "Levad shel kol tamei pritzut." Aside from all the problems of pritzud and the disgustiness of it, od kama isurei deraita ika bezeh. There are a number of other Torah prohibitions that one would break by doing this. Achareshak bevaday kol osik in kavanato lehitad mot laakum. The reason they do this is to be like the non-Jews, and that's true. Ula Rishay Yisrael, how reformer, and they want to be like the wicked people, the reform. The Kfar, his hero Alzeh, and he quotes other people who've warned about this, and the Torah says against this when it says, Shnei Mitzvarase Shalol Leilech Bechukoteim. So he's saying over here is that there's a Torah prohibition against a confirmation, and what's that Torah prohibition based on? It's based upon Vechukoteim Lo Teilechu, that you should not be following the practice. By the way, the word chukotehem specifically deals with their customs and practices. So over here you have a custom and a practice which is done by non-Jews or by Reformed Jews, and he says, what are you talking about? There's a Torah prohibition over here. And he quotes the Rambam, and he quotes all kinds of things that you're not allowed to copy non-Jews. Let me just see what else he says here. They want a bar mitzvah. They want, yeah.
They want a party. So it's for the party. They don't have any responsibility. They're not Jews. They're copying the Jews.
He, as I said, he goes on and on and on about this. But again, I have to point out, again, a couple of things. He is not talking, I mean, this tshuva, in a sense, is far more extreme than Rav Moshe's tshuva is. Right? And it's also interesting Rav Moshe did not bother to quote this. Correct. And Rav Moshe didn't even bother to quote this. Which means, as I said, other people who want to attack the bat mitzvah ceremony will quote this. Rav Moshe was honest enough. Again, don't take this wrong. Rav Moshe, you saw where he's coming from. You understand that he thinks he is defending the faith right now, and he has to stop this, and he wants to stop bar mitzvahs, he wants to stop all of this silliness. But he didn't go so far as to quote this. Because Rav Moshe understood this is not exactly what we're talking about. Rav Moshe is worried about Chilul Shabbos, he is worried about some other things that can come from this. He over here is talking about basically a ceremony, which as far as he's concerned is a non-Jewish ceremony, and let's be honest, he's not talking about bat mitzvah, he's talking about confirmation, he's talking about other things over here. So when you read this tshuva, you get the very strong sense that this is something which, again, Torah prohibition, nothing to talk about. I'm reading for a very simple reason, because of all the people who are going to quote it still, and they get, yes, people will quote this, and when they quote it, you will not be aware about what he really says in it, and you'll say, well, you know, listen, there is this person, the Zaken Aram, who strokes strongly against bat mitzvah. They will quote him as being against a bat mitzvah, even though he never said the word bat mitzvah in the whole thing, as far as I saw.
And he's never asked about bat mitzvah specifically.
As far as I can tell, I mean, If you want, we can start the 3-day Eish, and we won't finish it, but we'll start it. If you look at source 12, in Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, why did he call his book the 3-day Eish? Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Why did he call the book the 3-day Eish? Because he survived the Holocaust, and a survivor. He lived in Switzerland after the war, and he may have been the greatest post-Eich known until his death. He lived a number of years after the war. Very, very interesting individual. Incredibly broad for a post-Eich of this stature. Well-read in all areas of Judaism. Kept a personal relationship, correspondence with Reform rabbis, other people, studied in university. Again, was somebody who had really great breath. You will see his greatness in this tshuva, which is why it's not worth reading it quickly, but at least we'll read the question. Kvod HaRav HaGadol, and he's being asked by Rav Rashi Be'ir Gedola B'Tzarfat. He's being asked by a rabbi in a big city in France. And if you look at the headline, is Al Chagigat Bat Mitzvah Val Isur Lelech B'Chukot HaGoyim. Whether you're allowed to have a bat mitzvah and whether this is breaking following the Chukot HaGoyim. Now, if you've noticed, I started over here from section 26. I cut off the first 25 sections of this tshuva. The first 25 sections, he does an in-depth, absolute analysis of the idea of Chukot HaGoyim. What does it mean to follow non-Jews? When is it a problem? When is it not a problem? And when you read the beginning of what he says here, Va'ach Shanira Bididan, let's get to our case. Imuta l'chol chagigat bat mitzvah, whether we can make bat mitzvah ceremonies. V'yesherotzim la'asur, there are those who want to prohibit mishum v'chukoteihem, because they found their practices. And he quotes the Zakin Amri. U'liniyat dati talui b'zeh she'im ne'emar sheha confirmation shel akum hu l'shem avodah zarah yesh la asur mishum b'chukotayim b'chol gavni. If the reason that somebody makes a confirmation is because they're being involved in idolatry, then absolutely you should prohibit it. Elil shelafi zeh, and I hope you notice his sarcasm, because if I didn't point this out, you may not notice this. He goes, if you're right, we should get rid of bar mitzvahs also. Now, this is not like Rav Moshe getting rid of bar mitzvahs. He then says, because if you want to say because a non-Jew has a confirmation, we get rid of bar mitzvahs and get rid of bar mitzvahs also. Matter of fact, let's get rid of prayer. Do you realize now that he's being a little sarcastic? They also pray. So you already get the sense where he's going to go with this. We're going to stop over here. He's got a lot more interesting things to say about the topic. Please bring these sources next week, and we will hopefully get through the rest of the sources. So he continues, Rabbi Weinberg, to say, "V'reiz ha'davar mach'iv lev shebechinuch ha'klali," when it comes to general education, "lumudei safot v'sifrut chilonit ומדעי הטבע והרוח דואגת לבנות כמו לבנים. ואילו בחינוך הדתי, when it comes to general education, the girls get the same education as boys. When it comes to religious education, לימודי תנ"ך וספרות המוסר של חז"ל וחינוך למצוות מעשיות שנשים חייבות בהם מזניחים לגמרי. So again, Rabbi Weinberg is talking about an educational issue. He's saying that we have a severe problem with the education of girls. La'ashreinu amdei gedolei Yisrael b'dor hakodem al kikula, and to our joy, the great people of the last generation stood up, hazot v'tiknu mosdot shel Torah, they created, by the way, you realize the name of the first feminist Jewish educational unit, right? Sarah Schneer and Beis Yaakov. V'chizuk datei ba'ad banot Yisrael, hakamat reshet gedola u'makifa shel Beit Yaakov, hi hafkana hanahaderet biyoter shel doreinu. He goes, that's the greatest accomplishment of our age, that we have created schools for Jewish women. So, now, he's moving towards the issue of bat mitzvah. Generally, he's saying right now, don't tell me that in previous generations they didn't celebrate a bat mitzvah because they didn't have to celebrate a bat mitzvah. He says in previous generations, women received spiritual education in their home. That was the influence that they had. That's, and as he literally says, that they got it from their mother's milk. He goes, but when Jewish girls are being raised in other environments, what are you expecting to take place? Chavtet. Vishirota higayon hayashar. This is a very interesting thing, which he will later admit is not always used by religious Jews, and certainly not rabbis. When it comes to pure logic, vishirot ahigayon hayashar, when it comes to pure logic, v'chovata ikaron ha-pedagogi mechayev, when it comes to pedagogical considerations, kimat lachug gam lebat et haga'at l'chiyuv ha-mitzvot, one would almost say, we'll see if he'll stop with the almost soon, that when a girl gets to the age where she's obligated to mitzvot, that if you were to make a distinction between boys and girls, pogat kasha biregesh enoshi shalabat habogeret, to make a distinction over here would cause incredible damage to the sensitivity of a girl, saying why a boy will have a bar mitzvah and a girl won't. Asher b'shtachim acherim, when it comes to other areas of modern life, kfar zachta b'zichayon ha-emunapatzia, emancipation, kiviyachol. He goes, when it comes to other areas of life, women are, have equality, why in the world will Judaism lag behind in terms of our seriousness in terms of Jewish education? Okay, continue with this Rideish. V'af shenotani lahatir chagiyat bat mitzvah, even though my feeling is to allow a bat mitzvah, mikol makom maskim ani ladat hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein, bisifro igrit Moshe, or chaim chelek dalid. So, one second, try to figure out when Chelek Dalet, did that come out already, 1970? So I have to figure out exactly when he did pass away, because Chelek Dalet, he says, She'ein l'chol chagidat zeh b'beit ha-knesset, v'af bo b'layla af she'en shem anashim, ki'im b'bayit prati o b'ulam ha-samuch l'beit knesset. He says, I don't want to turn this into a ritual, but it has to be celebrated. Which means, the sensitivity that he has over here is, that in the shul itself, again, those of you who are expecting him to say, and therefore the woman when she's a bat mitzvah should read from the Torah, and so on and so forth, he is not going to say that. He is not going to say change ritual, but he will say that the bat mitzvah needs to be celebrated. Let's continue. Uvitznai sheharav yidrosh b'fnei habat habogeret rasha ma'alifa ulazhir liyot shamerit mehayom ulahala ha-mitzvot ha-ikariyot v'drim shebinah l'makom, and you need to turn this into a bat mitzvah. A rabbi should get up there and talk about her obligations, kashrut, shabbat, tarat mishpacha, hatipul b'chinuch habanim, v'chovot ha-idu b'chizuk l'bal b'limud torah b'shmerat mitzvot, uviyoto shokdol l'tet eineha b'ishu tamar chacham yirashamayim. The rabbi should instill within her the feelings that keeping the mitzvot, and she should one day create a proper home in terms of raising children, and she should have her eye open to marry somebody who will be interested in learning and have a fear of God. This is what he feels the bat mitzvah celebration should be. Again, towards keeping mitzvot. The chol hadvir ma'elahim ta'amim gdolim lahatir chagadzeh. And then he goes, even according to the Gra, who was very serious, who was very severe when it came to ideas of chukot ha'akum. Just one second, let's skip now to Lamed Bet. Kol hanal katafti l'biru shel achazir. Everything I wrote was in order to explain the background or of this law. Ulamaseh hadavar teluy b'kavanat ha-rotzim l'chadesh min ha-gzeh, shokhiyat ha-bat mitzvah. If you really want to get to the point, allowed, not allowed, proper, not part of it goes to motivation. Im himit kavanim l'shem mitzvah, ochel elad l'shem chikuy ha-minim. Why are they doing this? Are they doing this because they want to instill within the girl mitzvot? Or are they doing it because this is, again, the confirmation and the coming out party and so on? He goes, that's what it comes down to. Anam lo ne'elam mimeni. He goes, you know, it's not like I'm unaware. Sheyesh bein hayireim osrimu machmirim. I know that there are people who disagree with me, who say that this is not allowed, and they're machmir in this law. She'einam samim lev b'she'elot shel minhagim datiyim l'shikulim hegyoniim. When it comes to questions of religious law, they don't subject it to logic. And they don't even bother trying to figure out what halacha actually says. But rather they have an emotional response. And the Jewish heart, which keeps tradition, is sensitive against any kind of change within religious life. Aleim yesh lam litzma shekatuv, to those people who, again, what is he accused them of? Of not having logic and not knowing halacha. Two important things. Rather, they're saying, this is the custom, this is what my parents did, this is what I'm doing, my grandparents did, this is what we're doing, and any change is wrong. He says, I would advise them to remember what the Rambam said in his commentary to Gittin, where he writes, Ve'ildrim amru b'nei darkei shalom. There are certain things that you need to be pliable in order to create a situation of peace. Basically, he's telling this rabbi who wrote him this letter, saying, how could we do this, and this is against Jewish practice, and it was never done before. Basically, he's saying to him, shut up.
Yeah.
And he's saying to him, in terms of halacha, you don't know what you're talking about. In terms of the needs of the day, you don't know what you're talking about. And even if you're insisting it was never done before, there are certain things that you need to be more pliable, you need to accept things, and don't make a big deal about it. He does go on to say, Ulam ein lahem lishkoach, ki gam ha-mitzadadim beheter shel minhag chadash zeh shel chagigat bat mitzvah. And keep in mind, a lot of the people who want to celebrate mitzvah, libam dofek b'charida l'chizuk ha-chinuch ha-dati shel b'no Yisrael. You think you have a monopoly on concerns of Jewish continuity? The people that are doing, meaning, and therefore you want to keep the old custom? The people who are making the new custom, they're also concerned with Jewish continuity, and they came to a different conclusion than you. Sheminisibot shel hachayim b'dor hazeh, because of reality, the way that this generation exists, hein zkukot b'yoter l'chisun ruchani. These people today, you know what a chisun is? An inoculation. They need a spiritual inoculation. Ul idud musari, and to be encouraged spiritually, b'higayon l'gil ha-mitzvot. Logically, when a person gets to the age of mitzvot. Uv miyuchad yesh l'skor divrei rivasha, filo b'divar shahu isur gamor. And he says to this fellow asking, and even, I want you to remember, even if it wasn't allowed, even if it wasn't Yisur, which he does not believe it is, kol she'in makablim amru chazam mutav she'eshogim lo yamizidim. Which means, remember, if they're going to do it anyway, even if it was not allowed, do it anyway, so then don't make a big deal about it. V'she'in l'dakdek b'dram ke'ela im rotzim l'chiyot imar m'shalom. Don't be so, you know, careful if you want to live in peace with your co-religionists. V'ho'il v'katav Rabbeinu, which means the person who wrote him, said, katav sh'rov b'nei akila rotzim dafkelan hig min hagzeh. So now again, you hear a little bit more of the question, that most of this community wants to do it. Shokhiyat bat ha-mitzvah levanot. Ein l'chvod torato letzeit b'machloket negdam. He gives his answer to him, you do not have permission to go out and wage a war against the people who want to do this. Rak l'd'og l'kach sh'min hagzeh yishamesh be'emet chizuk v'chosim l'hashlatat ruach Torah mitzvot b'leiv b'not Yisrael. Your job is to make sure that if they're doing it anyway, that it serves as a proper spiritual inoculation in order to spread Torah and mitzvot in the heart of Jewish girls. He signed off, Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. Was that an interesting tshuva or?
But it's all based on
Okay, listen, that's always the problem when reading a tshuva, to know the time and the place that it was said. Now. The next tshuva, we'll see as we move on. The next tshuva that we have here is a tshuva to somebody who didn't ask a question. Rather, it was somebody who wrote a book. He wrote a book about coming of age, and he turned to the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Waldenberg, who, again, in some areas was incredibly liberal, mainly in issues of medical ethics and such. He was the rabbi of Shari Tzedek for many years, and in some issues he was very traditional. You can't pigeon... I mean, he was the guy on one hand who allowed abortion into the 6th month, on the other hand, did not allow elective surgery. Okay? Try to figure that out. Rav Moshe finds elective surgery.
Of any sort.
Right. Unless it was life and death. He thought elective surgery was a rejection. Right. He thought elective's right. Then it's not elective surgery, correct? He thought elective surgery was terrible. He thought it was, for all kinds of reasons. We studied that last year, I think. Somebody wrote a book. Yes. Somebody wrote a book and asked him to write a haskama, right? Yes, I like the book, and so on and so forth. So he writes the haskama. You can look in the first paragraph who the fellow was, what the name of the book is. And he says, and at the end of the first paragraph, he writes, the Chibata Kodesh, he writes the haskama saying, you know, it's a wonderful book. And he says, the Chibata Kodesh, out of love for, you know, holy things, Echtov lo bizeh mispar ha'arot, I'm going to make a couple of observations about the book. And it's a good thing he didn't write this in the Haskama. He writes, L'simen bet sif yud gimel, v'sif dal and vav, odot arichat chagigat bat mitzvah v'se'uda, kvodo hivi rak deyot mechayvim. You only brought the side that says that it's a good thing to have a bat mitzvah. It's impossible, it's such an important and popular book that you've written. How did you not quote the other side of the coin? Those who reject having a bat mitzvah. Why weren't you more even-handed in your analysis? So now, the Tzitz Eliezer will not quote anybody who's permissive and likes bat mitzvah, because he doesn't have to be even-handed, even though he just accused him of not being even-handed, because he's not trying to write a tshuva on it. He's just telling him, I think you missed out on these other opinions, but he will, along the way, tell us that he does identify with the position which is against the celebration of a bat mitzvah. He right away, he quotes the... He named a sefer from the top of page 6. He named a sefer Zaken Aharon. Okay, now you already know how that's going to go, right? The Zaken Aharon was the one who wrote this tshuva against confirmations. Av Beit and Pins Karlin Hanodeya ba'olam ha'halacha b'sifra v'chashuvim, who's known for his important books. It also tells you where he's leaning with this. Yotzal b'molchama tnufa neged asiyat chagigat b'pombit libat mitzvah. Now that's not true. It's not true what he wrote over here, or at least it's not precise, because he, right, he was not talking about a bat mitzvah. He was talking about a confirmation, a little bit older. Right? He was, which means it's very nice to quote the Zaken Aharon. I mean, even your rabbi, yeah, Rabbi Ellenson, when he gets to his discussion in Bein Ha'isha Liyotzra, he talks about celebrating a bat mitzvah. And he writes, he has a subsection here, Chagigat Eitz Labat, Dat Rishona Hasholalim L'chalotim. Those against the celebration completely, Shut Zaken Aharon. He quotes the Zaken Aharon. And even though in the footnote, he does admit, and you, I mean, you should, if you read it, you should get it. You do understand he's not talking about a bat mitzvah, which I think that this is only semi-relevant for the discussion. Nonetheless, this is where Rabbi Waldenberg begins. I don't know.
Maybe they just thought it's a rite of passage.
Right. But it's really, I mean, I think most of us appreciate that it's really not the same. That an Orthodox shul that makes a confirmation when somebody's a little older, you realize that they are trying to imitate somebody else. And the whole argument of Chukoteyam is a much better argument over there, but it's not a very good argument necessarily for about mitzvah. That's not Chukoteyam. That they're not trying, again, if anything, celebrating about mitzvah is not trying to imitate non-Jews. It's trying to imitate men. Okay, that's a whole different issue, but it's not trying to imitate... Right. Jewish men. So therefore, the argument of Chukoteyam over here is really not necessarily going to be the strongest argument. But he does quote some things that you didn't see yet from the Zaken Aharon. And it could be, again, now to defend the use of this, it's that the substance over there, aside from the Chukoteyam issue, look what else he says about it. He quotes the Zaken Aharon in terms of those who are against bat mitzvah celebrations.
So he's also muddling up the confirmation.
Yeah, as I said, even on a footnote he admits, I mean, it's more confusing than it should be. He writes over here, let's go to the end of the second line, Neged Chagat Pumbit Lebat Mitzvah, third line, Uvecherv Pipiot, like with a double-edged sword, Biado V'Lashon Chadan, sharp language, Muloteshet hu mita'er chomer ha'is mita'er chomer ha'isur v'goldo ha'machshela sheyesh b'zeh b'asher shebatin mina shelo yachshelu ayidei kein be'abuzrayu degili arayot, that having a bat mitzvah is going to lead to abuzrayu degili arayot, which is, by the way, is something he's going to come back to again and again and again. What is he talking about? Well, first of all, what is gili arayot? Gili arayot, you know what it is. Gila Riot is improper sexual activity. What is the word abizrayu? The next time you go for your car You know that they're avizirei rechev. Okay, it means something which is like something, but not exactly it. The Gemara considers abizrayu de gilei arayot the same status as gilei arayot, which means that there's a famous Gemara of a man who gets his psychiatrist to write him a letter to his rabbi saying he needs to sleep with this woman or he's going to die. So what does the rabbi say? Right, die. So then there's a well, the psychiatrist then writes another letter saying, well, even if he doesn't die, maybe if he just looks at her without her clothing on, right? Yeah, I think you can get your psychiatrist to write you such a thing. So what does the Gemara, so now look without her clothing, what does the Gemara end up saying? Let him die. So that's not Gilei Arayot, that's Abizrayot de Gilei Arayot, right? So over there, so it says, even Abizrayot de Gilei Arayot is Yehar Gol Yavar. Now, why in the world is he talking about Abizrayot de Gilei Arayot? I mean, hopefully the bat mitzvah girl's, I mean, dressed. And what's bothering him over here is the relatives and the friends coming over to the girl and kissing her and embracing her. That's what's bothering him over here. Okay, so you shouldn't have a bar mitzvah either. But I'm just telling you, that's, he doesn't come out and say it, but as far as I can tell, that's what's bothering him over here.
Maybe they should not have a wedding either, because people
will come over and be okay, that's another thing. So let's take a look, he says, V'chi haya ra'ui la'asur ze afilu haya ze midver mutarim ba'atzman. Even if it was allowed, we shouldn't allow it. Or afilu dvar mitzvah. Even if it was a mitzvah, we shouldn't allow it. Mikivin she said, na'aseh miyata chok u min hag shara umot. The achrehem hareformim v'roshei poshei Yisrael. So now you know where he's going with all this. Alachet kama shezeh goveil ba'aviral kama isurim. But we're going to break all kinds of laws over here. Even if it wasn't, he says not to do it. V'yeshon b'davar zeh gam tikun davar chadash shelo shamanu shema bilti ayon. We never heard of such things before. V'chein lo yaseh l'shamot minagei avoteinu. How can we change our customs? Afilu b'davar she'en nido iser. Even if there's no iser involved, there's no prohibition, how can we change our customs? Kol shkein b'davar hazeh asher isru chamur ma'od. But certainly this, which is going to lead to Abizrai de Avodah Zarah, it's also going to be close to Avodah Zarah because of Chukotom Leil Tolechu, Vegam Abizrai de Arayot. He just now, I mean, the only thing missing over here is murder. I mean, he just had within a bat mitzvah celebration Abizrai de Gilei Arayot and Abizrai de Avodah Zarah. So he had idolatry, sexual sins. Listen, after that, you really... By the way, they must have had some really good parties in those days, but you read... You read this. He didn't go there. Oh sure. I don't have the book, but I would assume that he put it in.
What year?
Recently.
Just recently, years ago.
No. Tavshin Memchet. Memchet.
No.
13
years ago.
13. Tavshin
Memchet.
1984. Okay. That's not so long ago. He died just a couple years ago, around 2 years ago he died. Don't you hate when that whole decade went by? Fine. He goes on from that to a tshuva of the Kol Mevaser. Now, the Kol Mevaser is Rav Meshulam Rata, who also, by the way, if you're looking for the Gadol, and I say that the, with a capital T, the Gadol, who's used as the source to say Halal and Yom Ha'atzma'ud, it's this person, Rav Meshulam Rata, and he was asked a question by a different Kahana, a Dr. Kahana who worked for the Ministry of Religion, Gabi Kohn, if you know anybody who Gabi Kohn from Machon Gold, it's his father-in-law. Okay, so it's Gabi's father-in-law was this Kahana, and he asked the Kol Mevaser whether they should institute in the Israeli school systems bat mitzvah. You know, it was within his power to do such a thing, and he comes out also completely against it. Start from there. It says Vashut Kol Mevaser. He shiv l'shoalo sheratz lanhig b'kizot b'tokif tafkido. A certain person had within his job to do such a thing. She'ein kol makom lezel arichel tochnit bat mitzvah. Do not make a bat mitzvah program. She'ein gam makom balacha she'av yurech aleha baruch shepatrani. And he also threw in there, and there's no right father should not say Baruch Shepatrani, which is a whole separate question which we're not getting into. Shabo hilo medid fetuchal mora disham lahartzot hartzaa meinyanei diyoma lavhir chovat by Yisrael shegi legil mitzvot zoitam sitshuvato. Basically, it's encouraging to have a very, very muted, very, very small marking of the day, and the teacher saying some divrei Torah, but again, against creating a bat mitzvah program. He quotes others along the way. Others are also, the next paragraph is also this. Another posek from Budapest, and you know where that's going to go. Neged arichat chagiat bat mitzvah, v'siyatzudat ubrachat baruch shepatrani. He goes on saying, "Who cares if people l'shem shemayim and on?" He then quotes from Moshe Feinstein, who was against the ceremony. So that's the next paragraph there, and finally, the second to the last paragraph where it starts ve'emet, ve'emet agid, which at least. I mean, you realize now he was going to go there anyway. V'met agid kigam laniyat da'ati. It also seems to me, nira kimaskanot hagdolim elyonim l'malo la'asur isur hein b'moadon v'hein b'pumi b'bayit. That, again, any kind of public celebration, b'glal shbichat pumut labat lo yimalet l'chshob b'abizrayi d'giyarolayit mikama panim v'dayit l'chakima. He goes, please don't let me spell this, make me spell this out, but he thinks that any kind of public celebration is bad. V'alachat kama Sheman dekar shmaya lavol. One second. V'nar hayiti v'gam zakanti v'lo ra'iti bein machane ha'charedim l'dvar Hashem shenahagu o she'alu al siftei kodesham rayon kazeh. Okay, I've spent my whole life in Yerushalayim. Right, Rabbi Waldenberg grew up in Yerushalayim. Never saw among the Charedim, Me'esharim. You don't see lots of bar mitzvahs. You know, he said, I never saw this, and he does not understand why to do this. And he writes in the last line, "V'karuv levadai shuze biglal gedira geder shel yavo lachshio b'abizrei degir right," which he keeps coming back to again and again. But again, what's his basic point over here? He tells the guy who wrote this book, "I think you're being unfair by only being pro." And there was another side over here that you left out. You should have been more honest. The people looking at your book will realize there's two sides of the coin. And if you're asking me, and by the way, the guy here never asked him, Rabbi Waldenberg, what is your opinion on this? He said, can you write a haskama for my book? Do you like my book? Which I think by the time he finished all this, he probably would have said, I was looking for a yes or no, right? I wasn't looking. And he does like the book. That's what's interesting. He writes them the haskama. He writes it's a wonderful book. He just didn't agree with his treatment. By the way, this is the reason why it's sometimes difficult to write a haskama of a halacha book. Because you see somebody write a haskama, you're saying, okay, do you agree with what they wrote or you don't agree? Rav Moshe, when he would write haskama for halacha books, would say, I did not read the book. But his grandfather was really a nice guy, and I'm serious. He would really write things like this, and therefore you should buy the book and support him. But he wouldn't say you'll never see him say I read through the whole book and I agree completely with everything that he said, and so therefore it's always difficult has come out for halacha books. So let's move to Rav Adya Yosef. Yes.
Teacher.
So is that as opposed to her giving a drasha words?
Probably never occurred to them.
So that's my question.
Yeah, it probably never occurred to them that she would be capable of such things. Again, I don't think it was even an issue of capability. I don't think we're even there yet in terms of this realization. Now let's stop a second. One observation. Everyone who we've seen so far, who has been strict against it, does have one thing in common, and that is that they're Ashkenazi. Because the Ashkenazim were fighting against the Reform. Ashkenazim were fighting against the Conservative. Ashkenazim were fighting against the Reconstructionist. So therefore, part of this unspoken war, or sometimes spoken war, and you saw people make reference to it, so that's what's looking at Rav Avadi Yosef is going to be so interesting. Because it's not really that Rav Avadia's milieu is one of anti-reform response. I think there have been a number of things in Judaism, and if you want to know the other one, I'll tell you the one that comes off the top of my head, is the prenuptial agreement. Had it not been for the fact that the conservative movement thought of it first, Orthodoxy would have embraced it years ago. But the truth is that it was thought of by the conservative first, so therefore it became tainted, because it was a conservative idea, which means not every idea that the conservative movement has ever had, by definition, is a bad idea.
Right.
So I'm saying certain things could get introduced coming from the conservative movement, and for many, if not most, maybe even all Orthodox rabbis, that automatically taints it as something which is treifus, is unacceptable.
It's a fear.
If it's fear, or if it is, which means to a certain extent, you also have to ask, is the war still on or is the war over? I mean, sometimes I've mentioned to people, the war is over. I mean, it's really unfortunate to fight battles of wars that were over 100 years ago. But, and again, for some of these, just say the word, this is from the reform, and, you know, it's like a red flag. Let's look at Rav Ovadia Yosef now. And we're going to see two different shuvot. We're going to see two different shuvot that he writes. One is shorter, one is longer, and we've cut off a lot either way. One is in his longer book, which is source, there's no number here, look at that, which is the no-numbered source on the bottom of page 6. It's Sheot Uchivot Yabia Omer. Nishalti, I was asked, Odemashanagu mikorov la'oruch chagigat bat mitzvah, regarding to make a bat mitzvah, shiki abat lagil yud bet shana, v'yom achad, im yesh lezeh makom b'halacha, if there's a place in halacha of this, v'yom yesh levarech gamkin baruch shepatrani, b'on shil shilzo, or if the father should make a bracha baruch shepatrani, or maybe the mother, kishem shemarechim el ben. The same way that they make it by a son. We see we're picking up in section 4. Uma'ata havo navo gam le'inyan ha'shela harishona im nachon l'roch ha'gigat bat mitzvah l'bat shegiyah l'gil yudbet. Shenir'a bevaday sheyesh mitzvah l'roch sudat v'simcha l'bat mitzvah. So what's his initial response?
Yes.
This is a mitzvah. Not yes. It's a mitzvah to do such a thing.
A woman is obligated on all mitzvot. She's an adult at this point. She's become an adult.
Which is, why would this be any different from the Maharshal's understanding of Rabbi Yossi? He became obligated mitzvot, so she's obligated mitzvot. If that's a sudat mitzvah, then this is a sudat mitzvah. I mean, why is this complicated? What did the Ben Ishchai say? Shekatav v'bat b'yom shetikanes l'mitzvot afal pishalo nagu lasot la suda, even though our custom is not to make a suda, im kol zeh tiyeh simcha ba'oto yom v'tilbosh begdei shabbat v'im yesh l'kel yada tilbosh beged chadash v'tverech shachayanu, right, all that we saw last time, that she should commemorate the day and she should make a shachayanu v'tekabein l'vtor simchat k'nistar ba'o mitzvot ad kan, v'ne'af shakatav, even though he wrote, shelo nahagu bizmano, even though he writes that in his time they didn't make a celebration, lasot lasuda, bizmanazeh, shosim sudat l'bat mitzvah, yafe osim. Today, when they make a party, that's a good thing that they're making a party. Right? V'chein re'iti, next line, l'yididi, erav gon, ravad yahadaya, b'shut yaskil avdi, another svardi posek, shediyek kein, מדברי הבן ישחי, הבח is הבן ישחי, שדעתו שיהיה ראוי לעשות, that he understood that he's saying it's proper לעשות סודה לבת בגיע מצוות, אלא שלא נהגו במקומו. He's just saying, we don't do it. אבל במקומות שנהגו, ודאי דראוי והגון הדבר, כשם שעושים לבר מצווה סודה וחגיה בזמן שתיכנס לאום מצוות, the same way you do it for a boy, הוא הדין והוא הטעם לבת מצווה. וזה מלבד הטעם, שהשמחה היא משום שהאב נשתחרר מעונש המוטל עליו לחנך בניו ובנותיו עד שגיל המצוות. Which means, if there is simcha in the saying of the Baruch Shevatran, he says, so what's the difference? Basically, Rav Ovadia is saying, what in the world is the difference between a boy reaching 13 or a girl reaching 12? Any reason you're going to give me for a bar mitzvah is the same thing for a bat mitzvah. Then he says, V'ra'iti l'harav hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shekatav. This was in the third question that was asked him to clarify, because somebody had brought up some issues. Maybe it is a sudat mitzvah, because she is obligated on mitzvot. And again he comes back and says, no, it's not. And Rav Moshe, one of the things that he said is, if you recall, that when a boy becomes a bar mitzvah, it's discernible, because now he's counted for minyan. When a girl becomes bat mitzvah, it's not discernible. So he writes about, Rav Moshe said over here, Rav Moshe, he quotes as saying, "Shekatav shekhetz v'simcha bat mitzvah, ein shum smach l'achshivam l'sudat mitzvah." Rav Moshe said, it's not a sudat mitzvah, she'ein ze el rak simcha yom uledet ba'alma, it's only a birthday. Mikol makom im rotzeh av lasot ein ze simcha b'veito l'bat mitzvah rashai. The Rav Moshe says, you could make a party in the house, el lo b'be kneset, ayin sham, u'b'mechilat kavod torato. Right? You got that one? U'v'machat. U'v'mechilat
kavod torato. What's he saying? With all due respect, ein devarav mechuvarim. What he wrote here makes no sense whatsoever. Again, this is not just disagreeing. It's just saying what you're saying just makes no sense. Shemikivat shenichlas al mitzvot vava gedola. She's become an adult, and now she's mitzvah oseh. Bekol mitzvot she chayevet b'hem. She's an adult woman. Of course, there's a mitzvah over here, as the Ben Ish Chai said. And then he quotes another person. V'chein re'itali didi hamanoach, Rav Abu Ravaya. We'll see in the next tshuva. He was the Rav of Petach Tikva. He writes, "Shivid shenit pasheta minhag bezman hazeh shosim chagigat bat mitzvah lebat shegeil mitzvot." But Rav Ben Ishchai isher minhag atov hazeh. So, by the way, you notice Sfaradi rabbi after Sfaradi rabbi saying, "Well, this is a wonderful thing." Again, my suspicion is because there's no reform that they're fighting against. So why exactly not to do this? Umikol shken shugil lomar b'misvot ke'elu divrei Torah min yaned yoma. Right, it should be no different. I skipped a line there. Ukedaisha av yivarech shabaruch shapatrani b'antrus shelzo b'misibat hachagiyah belish shemu malchut kadever shemavrichin ben. And he should say baruch shapatrani, which our custom is not to say with God's name. And he says it should be done the same way for the girl as with the boy. Ayin sham. That was quoting the other opinion. That was not Rav Avadia. Mikol shken shvigim loma misibot ke'ela divrei Torah minyan diyoma. And certainly, if these things are commemorated by having divrei Torah, v'gam shirim v'tishpachot l'Hashem yitbarach, and people sing and they thank God, v'kai gavna dahavei sudat mitzvah. He goes, that's a sudat mitzvah. What are you talking about? He says to Rav Moshe, what are you talking about? It's just a birthday party. V'filu b'stam yolonet imor m'sham divrei Torah havei sudat mitzvah. So you may want that source. Even a regular birthday party, if you say Divrei Torah, Rav Avadia says, that's also then becomes a Sudat Mitzvah. V'al kol panim v'vaday sheyesham Divrei Torah v'shirim v'tishapachot l'Hashem yitbarach v'yisud mitzvah mekol shken leben or lebat shegil mitzvot. That's any birthday, but certainly they come to the age of mitzvot. Davei b'chlal gadol ha-mitzvah v'oseh v'kanal. V'hinach lehem l'Yisrael shebenei neviim heim. Which again, I told you this is great. Whenever you agree with somebody, you say that they're B'nai Nevi'im. You don't agree with them, you say this goes against our custom. So if you can figure out when you say one, when you say the other, that would be great. But here he says that the Jews who've started doing this, they're B'nai Nevi'im heim. What does he say? He says B'nai Nevi'im heim, and this is a wonderful thing. Comes back to the question again on the bottom of page 7, which is your second source without a number, which is from his Yechaveh Da'at, which is his shorter book. And in the question it's raised, maybe the difference is the boy starts to put on tefillin. So he gives the source generally for making a bar mitzvah. Let's go to where it's underlined. And the next paragraph is pretty much you've seen, saying, yes, of course you should do it. He then, it's real interesting, three lines from the bottom, he writes in parentheses, a concern, ubovad, make the party, it's good, it's a sudat mitzvah, ubovad shi nagu al pi klalei atzniyot nedrashim al pi haTorah, and make sure you follow normal, accepted Jewish practice, and he writes in parentheses, v'ayin b'shut zakin Aaron Vulcan, and take a look what the zakin Aaron wrote, which is, he doesn't even quote him to say that it's not allowed. He says his big thing, he's yelling about Abizrael Gilei Arayot. He goes, okay, so make sure you have proper tzedakah. And with that one thing, he pushes aside that entire argument that you saw the Tzitz Eliezer going crazy about. Okay, so make sure that you conduct yourself in a proper Torah way. V'chein katov Aravagon Avram Musafaya, who I've not been able to locate exactly when and where he lived, apparently from Syria, and he's the son of Chaim Musafaya, b'tshuvak Tavyad, in a manuscript, he wrote, which is published in Noam, Shemisho says Sudah Piyom Shinichnasa Bito Bechiyov Mitzvot, Shemalula Shnemisr Shnav Yom Achad, Nirash a Sudah Mitzvah. It's a Sudah Mitzvah, Kamo Benar. So again, he quotes another source saying it's a Sudah Mitzvah. And he adds at the end, Vecheno Agin Barait Sarfat. Maybe gives you a little insight now into the other thing that the Sri Deish is dealing with. He goes, and that's the custom in Tzvarayot. V'sharayot. L'asod yom simcha v'sudah mitzvah l'ben sh'nasa bar mitzvah, v'chein l'bat sh'nasa bar mitzvah, u'minhag nachon hu. V'nafkamina, what difference does it make if it's a sudah mitzvah? He's quoting still. She'im korim lo u'mazminim oto l'shtatef b'sudah zo, chayim l'lechet. You get an invitation, you have to go. Right, that, remember we discussed this at the very beginning last time. Somebody doesn't invite you to a brit; they inform you of a brit because it's a sudat mitzvah.
He says, well, he basically saying, I don't know why they only do that by a Brit. And I got a phone call last night, somebody's getting married, and he said, you're coming, I'm inviting you, coming to the wedding. So I basically don't have a choice. I have to go to the wedding. Right? I do have to go, right? Just tell me if I don't have to. He then quotes Rav Moshe again. I'm not going to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and I skipped what he says, because you know what he says. And over here, he goes a little bit further from saying, Einu mechuvarim. Instead, he writes, doesn't make sense. He writes the verb tmuhim. What Rav Moshe says is shocking. Ve'ein dver mechuvim lahalacha. And again, he'll go and he attacks Rav Moshe on this. He then goes at length quoting the Sri De'esh, so you know where that's going to go. And he ends up b'sikum, very bottom of the page, haminhag shenoagim lasot misibat chagiga v'sudat hoda'a v'simcha lebat mitzvah b'yom le'at la'shtem esrei shana v'yom echad huminhag nachon tov v'hagon v'tov shimusham divrei Torah v'shirav fetish b'chol Hashem yitbarach ulam yesh mishmor b'kaptanut al kolei atzniut l'fi dat toratenu akdosha u'kumo shenemar ivdu et Hashem b'simcha v'gilu b'ra'ada. B'makom gila, shem tiyeh ra'ada, v'ashem yitbarach lo yimna tov lahuchim b'tamim. So again, Rav Avadia is very enthusiastic. He sees the Ben Ish Chai is certainly supporting it. All the Sfaradi rabbinim that we saw. Again, could be we can look more and find Sfaradi rabbis who were against it, but basically, I don't think I'm wrong on this, that really becomes the divide, because for them it's a different question. One is you're imitating non-Jews in terms of the confirmation, or Avadia never saw a confirmation. I'm sure the Muslims didn't exactly have a confirmation for girls. So he's just dealing with a slightly different reality. I want to do one more thing in conclusion. Yes?
With this, and with the Kippiot argument, and with a lot of other things, it's wonder that we don't all come from.
You like Rav Avadia, don't you?
I like the kinds of book that we're getting and we're learning here. Are there exceptions to that?
Look, I will say this, and someone's going to hear this, and they're going to attack me. Rav Avadia, the politician, I don't listen to. Rav Avadia, the posek, is unbelievable. Rav Avadia, as a posek, is just an unbelievable posek. He is so fair, and he's so logical, and he's so clear in terms of what he says, even-headed, whatever. He has his things. I mean, he has his Sephardi superiority in certain issues.
Is it only him, or is it the general trend?
No, not necessarily a general trend. But then, on the other hand, look at the Sri De'esh. We've seen the Sri De'esh numerous times as well, and he's also, you see just a great deal of intelligence. I mean, aside from intelligence over here, of saying, let's look at the real question. Where Rav Moshe was saying, saw a red flag being waved, he says, okay, but let's look at the reality. If we're not going to educate girls, we're not going to give them a feeling in terms of Judaism, so what do you expect to happen afterwards? I mean, be responsible. Last thing that we'll look at is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which you don't have in front of you. This is from a book which came out within the last few months. He's been very prolific since he passed away. This is called Shalmei Simcha, Psakim Upninim Halachot Hanagot Mimishnato Shomaran Amud Haura'av Agon of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who also, by the way, is a very significant posek, and also in terms of the clarity and so on. He did not love the Bat Mitzvah celebration. He did not like a big public thing. He did think that he doesn't. I'll hold off on that. I'm just telling you. He didn't love it. He did say that families celebrate if it's a party for girls and whatever. He thought it was fine. He's bothered by another issue that no one else really said clearly. Kol kavod bat melech pnima. That in terms of tzniut, which you raised before, the girl getting up. The issue of tzniut over here, he doesn't say clearly because it's people quoting things that he had said. It's almost as if certain things would be the opposite of bringing a girl to mitzvot. But his son-in-law over here does say that when it came to celebrations that were more private, he did not object to, but he did write, his granddaughter had a bat mitzvah, and he wrote her a letter. So that's the letter that I'll read. I actually had my father read this to my daughter on Friday night. He read it again.
Nechdati Hayikara, right? My precious or granddaughter. Hinani la gidlach dvarim achadim lekrat yom ze shat nechneset lenoam hatorah mitzvot. There's certain things that I want to tell you as you enter into the pleasantry, noam, the pleasantry of Torah mitzvot. Voto yom sheyeled o yolda naaseh lebar mitzvah lebat mitzvah. Tzrichim heim lahargish ulorot et oto yom kimo chag hashivuot shebo nitnat Torah l'Yisrael. Experientially, the day that a child becomes a bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, they should see it as Shavuot, they should see it as Yom Matan Torah, they should see it as the day that the Torah was given to the Jewish people. And therefore you should be very happy on this day. Therefore, just like the Jews were so happy on Shavuot, the day a child becomes an adult, and now is obligated to come out kol klal Yisrael. Hareze b'shvilo ki yom shomatan Torah. It's like the day the Torah was given. Nosaf leze yesh ledat shemitzad halacha, that you should also know that as far as Jewish law is concerned, rak me'oto yom shakatan higdil hu nechshav lebardat v'lo lefneze. Only on that day you become a person of intelligence. He's saying you have da'at. Which means that's the real difference between somebody who's a child and somebody who's adult, is that they have that. U'lachin yesh l'smoch b'yom zeh shozuchim liot bar dat. You should be happy because now you're a person of intelligence. Asher zeh ikar adam. That's really what a person is. Kimo shamru chazal, as Chazal said, dat kanita ma chasarta. If you have intelligence, what are you missing? Dat chaserat ma kanita. If you don't have intelligence, so what do you have? Hinini natein toda la Hashem sha'at nech. I thank God that you're my granddaughter, my precious granddaughter, who's grown up to become a person of mitzvot. From the bottom of my heart, I wish you mazal tov. And maybe God's wish that He helps you and us. Shetamshichi v'tosifi lalot mitoch bri'ut v'simcha. That you continue with health and with happiness, ulatzliach belimudim, that you succeed in your education, uvmidot tovot, good behavior, sheyeshlach, that you have v'tihi tiferet ubracha lahorim hayikarim velanu, that you become really this tiferet. How would you translate tiferet? Yeah, for your parents and for us. And so on and so forth. He signs up towards till we get the Geula Shlema. First of all, I think you want a copy of it. It's called Shalmei Simcha, which is all kinds of celebrations in Jewish law, and what he said about the different times of celebrations. And this is on page 678, which is, you get your money's worth. It's a big book. And of course, 60 shekel, I say. The important thing that he said over here is the experiential of that the individual becomes a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. He says, this is Matan Torah. This is the day that you've received the Torah. And he's, as far as the chinuch goes, again, if you were to ask him, what's the important thing? Is the important thing the party, or is the important thing the person to really have joy for accepting Torah on that day? He said the important thing is joy. Again, he had his own issues in terms of public celebration. He had the own issues of what's the proper way of celebrating. But as I said, that the letter over here I thought was worthwhile bringing down as a conclusion. I think that one of the biggest challenges that we have in this generation and the last generation is women's education and women's place within Judaism. I think that one of the challenges that we have, not just for bat mitzvah, for bat mitzvah as well, is to make it not just a rite of passage in terms of a party, but in order to create something in terms of substance, that the child understands it's not just a celebration or a party, but the main thing really is going to be the substance within it, and that's going to be the challenge in order to, you know, the saying is that for a lot of people, a bar mitzvah, it's more the bar than the mitzvah. And the challenge over here is to turn the bar mitzvah into a mitzvah and to turn the bat mitzvah into a mitzvah. But again, you all knew, as we were learning this Rideish, that if what he was saying was correct 50 years ago, right, it's certainly correct today in terms of the challenge that if you're not going to give Jewish women an opportunity to express and to grow in terms of mitzvot and to feel that there's a connection over here, then don't be shocked when they don't feel that they have a connection. Okay, we will continue next time.